This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Friday, August 29th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Kelly. Here's today's headlines. Cap and trade may put housing above ag. Newsom opposes E15 bill. A new phone bill that Newsom refuses to pay for. And H-2A wage rates getting an overhaul. Now, here's a programming note. Daybreak West will not be published on Monday, Labor Day. We'll be back on Tuesday and hope you have a great holiday weekend. Draft cap and trade proposal circulating. With just 2 weeks of session left, the Senate and Assembly are racing to finalize an agreement on extending the cap and trade program past 2030. Much of the negotiation revolves around how the state should spend the billions in revenues it draws from polluting companies. Assembly member Jackie Irwin of Thousand Oaks and her office have been circulating a draft proposal outlining the broad spending categories in the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund, reports Politico. Agriculture would receive 10% of the pot, funding grants for healthy soil practices, dairy digesters, and ag equipment upgrades under Farmer, among other programs. Half of the overall money in the fund, meanwhile, would support clean transportation investments. It's 30%. Affordable housing and community programs like urban greening at 20%. Irwin has hinted at either cannibalizing a separate bill or amending a stalled bill on the reauthorization to fill with language implementing the pending agreement between the two chambers and the governor's office. Newsom administration opposes E15 bill. Governor Gavin Newsom's finance officials have signaled the administration opposition to a bill proposing to authorize E15 before the Air Resources Board has completed its review. The bill has gained unanimous support through several votes and sits in the Senate Appropriations Committee. Today, the legislature's two fiscal committees will cast critical votes on hundreds of bills considered to have a substantial cost to implement. The mass culling of legislation offers a biannual opportunity for Democrats to block politically unsavory bills. That leaves dire prospects for AB 30, which is likely to get vetoed if it survives the day. During a committee hearing earlier this month, the Department of Finance described the bill as duplicative and unnecessary. A budget official pointed to the 2.3 million and 10 positions the legislature approved this year for CARB to implement the new E15 standards, resources that will not be available until the agency completes its review. The administration's opposition to AB 30 centers on new costs to CDFA for purchasing new equipment to sample and test E15, along with other expenses for maintenance and for supplies. The CDFA would have to raise its motor fee beyond the current nickel per gallon to cover the cost at a time when policymakers are pushing to lower fuel prices. Now take note, CDFA, often known for its Climate Smart Ag grants, is California's enforcer of quality, advertising, and labeling standards for most petroleum products. That includes low and zero emission fuels. A phone bill that could increase the phone bill. The Newsom administration has also registered its opposition to AB 470. It's a bill that would make it easier for AT&T and other telecom companies to cut the cord on landline phones. The state obligates them to provide the potentially costly service to rural regions and other places that lack broadband access and have spotty cell coverage. The companies have long fought against groups like the California Farm Bureau to drop their obligation as a carrier of last resort. Dozens of consumer advocacy groups, local governments, and labor groups for telecom workers oppose AB 470 as well. Finance officials push back on the $5.5 million projected cost of the bill, criticized it for overriding an ongoing rulemaking proceeding at the Public Utilities Commission. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Labor looks to update farm worker wage rate methodology. The Labor Department plans to update the way it calculates the adverse effects wage rate used in the H-2A guest worker program. It could be good news for growers. In a court ruling, the American Sugar Cane League said the department had, quote, signaled its intentions to engage in new rulemaking on the AEWR methodology, that which farm groups have complained about for years as H-2A wages have risen steadily. The league is a plaintiff in a lawsuit that ended this week with a judge scrapping the Labor Department's 2023 rule that reclassified some farm occupations in the H-2A program, resulting in higher wage rates. The Office of Foreign Labor Certification said that in light of the ruling, it will use the methodology contained in the 210 H-2A rule, which will require use of the USDA's Farm Labor Survey, not the Labor Department's Occupational Employment and Wage Statistics Survey. The FLS is being challenged in a separate lawsuit brought by the National Council of Agricultural Employers. You can read more at agripulse.com. China dives in trade outlook. USDA's out with its latest trade forecast, and China, once the top destination for U.S. crops, it's projected to drop to sixth among American ag export markets. USDA's estimating China will import just $9 billion in U.S. soybeans and other commodities in fiscal 2026. That's down from $17 billion in FY25, nearly $26 billion in FY24. Now, keep in mind, soybean exports to China have stalled as President Donald Trump struggles to reach a deal with China on tariffs. Right now, Chinese tariffs are 20% higher on U.S. soybeans than those in Brazil. U.S. exports to China could improve significantly if Trump can get a deal. That, according to economist Dr. John Newton, the executive head of Terrain. The $9 billion in exports to China, estimated by USDA, would be the smallest amount of exports by value to the Asian nation since 2007, Newsom notes. In fiscal 2019, the height of the Trump last trade war with China, U.S. ag exports fell to $10.1 billion, but then hit $33.4 billion in FY21 under the Phase 1 trade agreement. USDA announces actions to address rural vet shortage. USDA is taking steps to address the shortage of rural veterinarians. Speaking at Mississippi State University, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins said the department would make an additional $15 million available for the Veterinary Medicine Loan Repayment Program, streamline application processes for both that program and the Veterinary Services Grant Program. USDA's National Institute of Food and Agriculture, which runs both programs, says annual funding for the loan program reaching $10 million in 2023. USDA is pursuing strategies to make federal service more attractive for our vets to create a direct pipeline into public service, Rollins said. Final word for today. That dog's not hunting right now. It's Kevin Abernathy. He's general manager of the Milk Producers Council, who explained the latest Sigma developments to the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District recently. California is past the time of elected officials reaching out to their constituents for input, and the conversation has shifted to appointed regulators within the implementing agencies where those constituents have less influence, according to Abernathy. He added that Sacramento needs to understand the dilemma that we're under at this point. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Friday, August 29th. Brought to you by Robo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Daly.